Our passage this morning comes from Daniel chapter 2. We'll be skipping around in the chapter, but the emphasis for our reading this morning is from verses 46 through 49. And it'll be up on the screen if you want to follow along when I get to the reading in a little bit, or you can look it up in your Bible or on your Bible app on your phone. He is a pastor. His name is Don Wilton, and he's the pastor at First Baptist Church in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And he is known to be the pastor of Billy Graham. So imagine the weight of that on your shoulders, being Billy Graham's pastor. I couldn't imagine that. But anyway, so he went to this church in Spartanburg, and the first day he was there, he said, "What are your issues? What are the problems that y'all are facing?" And one of the things that they were facing was that they didn't have enough room for parking. So the church had grown to the point where their campus was overflowing with people. And so he asked them, "Well, what are your solutions? Are there other parking lots around the area that we can use?" And he said, "Across the street, there's a bar. Can we use that parking lot?" And they said, "No." They said, "There's this big gorilla of a man that runs that place, and he will never let us use his parking." And he said, "Well, let's go talk to him." And so he said, either in my naiveness or just in a move of the Spirit, we walked across the street and we talked to him about allowing us to use his parking lot to help us with our parking issues. And he said, so we went with a purpose, and he said, we talked to him about the parking, but we started talking to him about other things too. And the people from the church told him, "It'll never work. You'll never be able to convince this gentleman to let us use his parking lot." But in that conversation that he had with this big gorilla of a man, he gave his life to Christ. Something nobody thought could happen happened. And he said, this is the funny part of the story. That next Sunday, he was standing in the pulpit preaching, and he saw him walk in the sanctuary. And at some point in the service, the guy said, "Pastor, I have something to say." And he said, "I could have crawled under the pulpit if I'd been able to. He said, the guy walked to the front, and he said, "I just have to tell you guys, this week I gave my life to Christ, and I've never felt so blank good in my life." But God can work miracles. Something nobody thought would ever be able to be accomplished happened because the pastor was just bold enough to go and ask for something. He shared in the man's life. The man came to Christ, and he pointed people to God. In the passage that we're looking at today, we can see God working through Daniel in a similar way to change the heart of an unbeliever. So let's look now at Daniel chapter 2, starting in verse 46. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of mysteries. For you were able to reveal this mystery." Then the king placed David in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, Daniel requested the king appoint Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained in the royal court. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So what's going on in this passage? Why is Nebuchadnezzar falling down at the feet of Daniel? Well, if you go back to the beginning, just to kind of give you an explanation of what happened, the king had a dream. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he brought his wise men in, and he said, "You know what, guys? Interpret my dream for me." But then he said, I'm not going to tell you what my dream is. And they were like, that's not possible. Well, he said, if it's not possible for you to do this, then why do I need you?
Rejected.
Yes, rejected. If you can't do this, you're all goners. You're dead. And so Daniel catches wind of this, and he goes and he asks for permission to take a shot at it, right? He said, let me do it. And then what did Daniel do? In verses 17 and 18 of the same chapter, it says, then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men. God led Daniel to his knees. Daniel placed his hope and faith in the God that had helped him in chapter 1. He placed his hope and his faith in the God that had been faithful to his forefathers. See, Daniel was educated in the scriptures. He knew what God wanted from him. And when he was faced with this situation where he was surely going to die along with the other wise men of Babylon, he went to God on his knees and he asked his friends to pray also. And their prayer was specific. Help us to determine what the king's dream is and then interpret it. Daniel had faith that God could deliver him. And then it happened. God worked in that situation. He heard Daniel and his friends pray, and he answered their prayers in a dream. He revealed the king's vision to Daniel. And then what does Daniel do? Well, Daniel could have patted himself on the back and said, what a wonderful person I am. I'm going to the king, and I'm going to say, hey, look what I've done, you know, magnify me. But before he goes to the king, what does he do? He praises God. In verses 19 through 23, it says, during the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. Daniel's first reaction wasn't to build himself up and tell the world what a wonderful person he was. His first reaction to God's provision for him was to give God praise and say, thank you, God, for all that you have done for me. Thank you, God, for your deliverance in this moment. Only you could have done this. And then when he goes into the public, again, he doesn't take the chance, the opportunity to build himself up and say, what a wonderful person I am. He gives God all the glory and honor for what has happened. In verses 27 and 28, it says, Daniel answered the king and said, no wise men, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show the king the mystery that the king has asked. Daniel's saying, I couldn't do it. Nobody could do it. It's not possible for a man to do what you have asked. But then he goes on from there. In verse 28, he says, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Again, he could have taken credit. He could have asked for a special seat in the kingdom. But he doesn't do it because he loves his God. He is faithful to his God. We've seen that already in the first chapter. He's repeating that pattern in the second chapter. God has been faithful to him, and that has swelled his heart to be faithful to God in the circumstances that he's facing. Trimper Longman is a professor in theology, and he's written a commentary on the book of Daniel, and he basically sums up the book of Daniel, or the first six chapters of the book of Daniel, in this comment. You can not only survive, but you can thrive in exile if you rely and put your faith in God. Daniel is not in a pleasant situation. You know, his life was in danger in chapter 1. His life is in danger in chapter 2. He could have thrown up his hands and said, God, what have you done to me? You've taken me out of my homeland. You've put me in a foreign country where people do not like me. What's the point? But he doesn't do it. He said, God, you've been faithful in the past. You've promised deliverance. Someday a Messiah is coming. And I have faith in you, God. Daniel shares our faith. A lot of people like to take the Old Testament and the New Testament and say they're two different stories. It's all one story. The Old Testament, those that were faithful in the Old Testament, they had the same faith that you and I have. They had a faith that a Messiah was coming. Daniel knew that there would one day be a Messiah that would come and deliver God's people permanently, eternally. He didn't know the name. We believe in a God that comes to deliver permanently, eternally. And that person that God sent for us was God in human form, God in flesh. It was Jesus Christ. It was Jesus. Daniel had faith in Jesus because he knew that God would send him one day. Without God, Daniel was doomed. But God delivers him. And then Daniel gives credit to God. The same is true for us in Christ. Without him, we're doomed. We're standing on the brink of hell and death and eternal separation from God. We have run away from him. We have spit in his face. And the devil is salivating over winning us over. But in that lostness, in that brokenness, in that mess that we have created, God seeks after us. He sent Jesus Christ to come into the world, to die. What for? To die for people that rejected him? To die for a mess like me? Why would he do that? Because he loves us. Jesus, when he went to the cross, he went to the cross with a purpose. In the Old Testament, it says that the shedding of blood has to happen in order for sins to be forgiven. And Jesus, when he went to the cross, he shed his blood for the sins of the world. So that if we place our faith in him, we are clean in the sight of God. We are delivered from the doom of death and hell. If we place our faith in him. And then, the even more beautiful picture is that Jesus rose from the dead. And in doing that, he defeated death eternally. Daniel's focus wasn't on the temporal moment that he found himself in, the fleeting moment of danger that he was in. His focus was on eternity. Because he knew that through God, his faithfulness to Daniel, that he would live eternally in heaven with God the Father. And it's the same for us. If we place our faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus rose from the dead. He defeated death. When we place our faith in Him, we are assured that we have a place with God in glory for eternity. Daniel knew that, and it helped him in this moment to realize what he needed to do. He needed to go to his knees, and he needed to ask God specifically to reveal this dream to him. And it worked. All too often, I try to take credit for successes in my life, but I fall short. We all do. But if we're building our relationship with Christ, He will empower us to look toward Him. He will empower us to give Him credit. He will empower us to show His glory in a lost world. God then does something nobody ever thought could happen. In verses 46 and 47, it says this: "Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, 'Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery.'" So if you recognize who Nebuchadnezzar is a conqueror. He's a king. And at this time, he's pretty much conquered the entire known world. And in his society, he's more than likely looked upon as a god figure. So here is King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the known world, bowed down at the feet of an exiled Jew. The king of the known world bowed down at the feet of a slave. Daniel's faithfulness brought him to his knees, but God's power brought Nebuchadnezzar to his knees. What an amazing scene that had to be. Could you imagine being there and seeing the faces of all his subjects? What in the world is he doing? What is he doing? He's lowering himself to the ground before this peasant. The king didn't expect that Daniel could do it. Then Daniel gives credit to God and reveals that God is the true God, the God that Scripture says that He is. And the king of the world recognizes that. It doesn't say that he came to faith. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that he came to a saving faith. It just tells us that he came to this realization that Daniel's God was powerful. And he is. Daniel's testimony pointed somebody that nobody would have ever thought could make a statement like that about God. He points him to God, and then he makes that bold statement. And God wants us to be audacious in sharing our faith. He doesn't want us to shrink away from it. He wants us to be bold. There's a story about a young man named Johnny MacArthur, who is the grandson of John MacArthur, who is a pretty well-known pastor. Johnny MacArthur was a scratch golfer, and he had a full ride scholarship to Pepperdine, but he wasn't content with that. He decided his senior year that he was going to try out for the football team. He's at a big high school in California, and he tries out for the football team, and he makes the football team, and he must have just been a really gifted athlete, because then he started on defense for the team. So they're playing their crosstown rival. They're down by 2 points. The quarterback from the other team is driving them down the field, and he throws a pass, and Johnny MacArthur catches the pass, intercepts it, runs it back. There's seconds left on the clock. The other thing was that he tried out to be a kicker. He was the second string kicker, but the first string kicker had been injured. So for the very first time in his football career, he was called on to go out onto the field and kick a field goal to win the game. It's raining, it's windy. He runs out there, He kicks the ball, and what does it do? It goes through the uprights. The team wins. So they go to him after the game. It's on TV in the local area. And they interview him, and they ask him the question, you know, how are you feeling? He says, I feel wonderful, but I've got to give glory to God for giving me the talents to do what I did tonight. A radio host saw this story, and a couple of days later was talking about it. He said, this kid was just so sincere. He said, I'm an atheist, but the circumstances in this situation, he was so sincere that I almost believe. I truly am starting to wonder if God is real. What did he do? He could have said, I've been practicing my tail off, and I have gotten so good, I knew this was going to happen because I'm just that good. No, he said, God has blessed me with talents, and I'm giving him the honor and the glory in this moment. I don't think God cares what happens in football games. I don't think he cares if Alabama wins the national championship. But he does care about the faithfulness of his people and their boldness to proclaim his name. And that is exactly what this young man did. And because of it, he was a witness to more people than he could imagine. And I think we need to let this story point us to the fact that we need to be on our knees and praying and asking God for audacious things. We need to pray that he would build up this body of believers to go out into our community and share the gospel and watch him work. He's working before us. He's preparing for us the hearts of people to hear about him. And we get to be the ones that are blessed by seeing him work. Daniel had nothing to do with whether or not Nebuchadnezzar came to know God. But God used Daniel to reveal his power to Nebuchadnezzar. And God can use us to reveal his power in a dark and longing world. And he calls us to be audacious and bold in sharing his truth with those that are lost and need to know him. And then he allows us to see the blessing of people coming to know him through our witness. So as we pray, pray boldly, pray audaciously, and then live out your faith in a way that gives glory and honor to God and watch him work. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, you have done miraculous things. Over and over and over again, you have blessed your people. When they've run away from you, when they've hidden from you, you sought after them. And you've protected them. You've provided greatly for them. You've done the same for us. God, you've called us to be your people. You've equipped us with time, talent, and treasures. You have given us gifts that you want us to use to grow your kingdom. And help us to be bold and audacious in asking you for what we want. Conform our will to yours so that when we do ask, we're asking according to what you want us to do. And then prepare us to go out into the harvest and reap the benefits of you working before us. Help us to be bold. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.